Hi, and welcome to my new podcast. I am so excited to start chatting with you about motherhood and its connection with intuition. So just a little bit about me. I am a newish mother with two little children. I have a toddler who is almost 3 years old and a baby who is almost one. I'm also a licensed social worker specializing in the perinatal mental health field. Now, let's dive into this week's topic to hear how mothering and intuition are one and the same for me. And if you're here, I assume you believe that too. Hi, I'm so happy to be back. I'm so glad that you're here with me. I've been having a really good last few days hanging out at the beach with my two little kiddos. And I hope that your last week has been great too. I mean, there have been tantrums and sleepless nights in between all of this time that I'm calling great, but still, it's as great as it gets at this stage of my life. You know, I've been thinking lately about the topic of intuitive eating. I read this great book, which is called exactly that, Intuitive Eating by Evelyn Tribble and Elise Resch. I'll put the link in the book on Amazon on our show notes. This book has been so revolutionary to how I think about my eating habits and in turn also about my children's eating habits. You know, I used to think that there are good and bad foods, but the truth as I see it is that there are foods, period. Now, I can focus on how do those foods make me feel. Like for me personally, small amounts of white flour and sugar make me sick, often within a few minutes or otherwise within a few hours or days. Like I can see myself getting a headache, having really low energy, not being in a good mood when I eat some of those things. But I also understand that that's not everyone. Many people can tolerate white flour and sugar. And that's why I think there aren't good or bad foods. They're just foods that make us feel ourselves and make us feel energized and happy. And other foods that really affect our moods, our health, our bodies, and our guts. Another week, God willing, I really want to talk about our gut and how, as moms, our gut can be impacted, especially by pregnancy and postpartum. But that's going to be for another week's episode. For this episode, I just want to discuss a little bit about kind of going to the opposite of diets. You know, as women, I know that we often have this ideal body weight that we want to get to. We have this ideal way of eating that we want to be able to achieve. But for me, as I see my truth, and I really encourage you to get to your own truth, I don't believe there is one type of ideal weight. And I don't think that there's one type of diet that works for all of us. I don't think that there's one diet that we each need for all of our lives. Meaning, you know, at different periods in our lives, I think that we need different things. Like when I was pregnant with my children, I craved liver. I used to despise liver. I just really couldn't take it into my mouth before my pregnancies. But when I was pregnant, I really wanted it and I craved meat. I needed like a lot of it. And now when I'm breastfeeding my baby, I still feel that I need to eat a lot. And I really get hungry very often and I eat a lot. And I try really hard not to shame myself about it because I am proud that my body is feeding another human. I'm proud that my body created another body from scratch. Isn't that insane? It's so hard sometimes when I look myself in the mirror and I realize that I'm not the same weight I was before my second pregnancy. After my first pregnancy, I lost all of my weight pretty quickly. And now after my second pregnancy, I have not. And personally, I've never struggled with my weight before this. It's so hard for me to see myself in the mirror. And when I have an extra second and there isn't a baby screaming for my attention, I try to tell myself loving things in the mirror. I tell myself positive affirmations. For example, there are a lot of I statements like, I am love, I am beautiful, I am delightful. things like that. I'm pretty. And I also keep reminding myself of the absolute miracle of a person I am. I mean, I know we've been doing this for generations, just birthing babies. But did you hear that? We birth babies. We create them from scratch. They nest inside of us for months at a time. And during those times, we look for ways to continue finding ourselves while sharing our body with another human. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. During all that time, you know, we start changing. We start breathing differently. We start thinking differently. It transforms us, a pregnancy. And if that's not enough, there's birth. Giving birth, for me, tops it all off. I mean, this is my favorite topic, talking about birth. So there's going to be a special episode about this. But just, you know, thinking about us and us women of what we do and the space that we hold for another human being, the physical and the emotional space. I mean, just for that, I feel like we should have this grace for our bodies and be like, it's okay. Whatever weight you are, it's okay. But just going back to the intuitive eating book. When I got to the chapter of raising an intuitive eater, there were so many feelings that came up for me. Well, first there was relief of, wow, you know, so I can raise a child who won't have any eating issues. Who won't have this guilt of, oh my God, I'm grabbing some brownies or I'm eating too much. But the other feeling after, I felt the relief of, wow, this I can do this correctly for my child. I also felt so much guilt. Because, you know, there's always the guilt as a mom of what we didn't do. And when my oldest child was a newborn, I put him on a feeding schedule. It really did not feel natural to me and definitely did not feel intuitive. But it felt like the only way for me to survive. So my baby would be crying to be fed. And I told him, nope, we still have 30 minutes on the clock. And it's kind of embarrassing now to talk about it, but I think it's so important for me to remember where I was as a mom and for all of you listeners to know that it's okay. Whatever you did is okay. We can always learn new things. And if you continue to do this, it's also okay if it feels right to you, if you're in sync with your intuition. And, you know, that's the point of this episode and this is the point of my podcast in general, just us being more and more in sync with our intuition as moms. And I just want to explain for me personally why it saddens me to recognize that I put my child on a feeding schedule. If you'll read the book, you'll see that the authors speak about teaching a child to eat when their bodies need to. Teaching a child to eat what their bodies need and how much their bodies need. But if us as moms decide everything they need and restrict their intuition, then we are bound to teach them unhealthy eating habits. So I just want to go into detail here for a moment about how I try to teach my children about intuitive eating. So for my 8-month-old baby, we just feed him whatever we eat. There isn't any special foods that we make for him. I've actually never made any pureed food special for him. I've given him some, you know, soup that I've made, but that was for the whole family. So nothing special. He just eats whatever we eat. And he's been doing really well. He always eats with us at the table in a high chair because I think it's super important for him to be able to model us. And I think that that's how children learn how to eat. Just as a side note, we also have a small table and chair that my toddler sometimes uses here and there. But for meals, we're usually all sitting together. So my baby's usually, you know, just eating with us, and he does really well with that. He picks and chooses his own food that are on his tray, and he usually just eats everything and has not been that picky at all. And I'm really happy that I can give him this experience of just experiencing all types of foods we eat, including meat, chicken, fish, fruits, vegetables, snacks, like literally just everything. So now with my toddler, for some reason, the intuitive eating part has never come natural to me. And I'm still having a hard time with it. It could be because he's my oldest child. And it can also be because he's just older than my baby right now. But also when he was a baby, I had a hard time with it. So currently he often skips meals. And when that started happening, it felt really weird because it was something new. When he was young, he was eating 3 meals a day, like my baby is right now. And it didn't matter what it was. In the beginning, when he stopped eating 3 meals, I used to encourage him to eat more, even after he said that he was done. Or he would just, you know, get up from the table and start playing. So now I really try not to encourage him to eat more because I know how important it is for him to get in touch with his own intuition, not with mine, with his intuition, because he's going to need that to guide him his whole life. So now what I try to do is I just ask him to put his hand on his belly and to feel if he feels full. He usually just says yes, without even thinking about him. But I prompt him to think about that, not because I think he's understanding what I'm asking now of this feeling of fullness, just because I want him to understand in the future and to start linking this feeling of hunger to his eating habits. You know, maybe an hour after dinner, he'll be like, oh, I'm hungry. And he might start realizing that that's because he didn't eat enough at dinner. And I really want him to start having this connection between his gut, his intuition, his stomach, his feelings of fullness. So that's why I prompt him to do that. And when it comes to eating snacks, it gets trickier for me. At our house, we don't have any sugar. We barely have products with sugar at home. And I do this because of health issues I have. And because we found that sugar makes all of us not feel our best. So when we're not home, often my toddler gets really excited about eating candy and other snacks at other people's houses that he's not used to seeing at our house. And recently I've noticed myself wanting to limit that for him. I see it happening. You know, I see myself wanting to limit it for him. And I also sort of want to switch that around. I don't want to make any foods in his eyes be bad foods. I want him to be able to have play food like they talk about in this book, Intuitive Eating. And I want him to have foods that he eats just for fun, not because it's nutritious in my eyes, just because he likes it and other kids are eating it. And I recognize that through not giving him any impressions of what I think as to his food choices, then he will actually make the choices that are right for him. Like I've read in the book, and I've also seen with my child. You know, recently we ate a meal at a friend's house, and for dessert they served cheesecake. And they also had a main plate of nuts and dates. My husband was so surprised that when he served my child cheesecake, he didn't want it, and instead he asked for nuts and dates. This doesn't happen to us often, but I see now that the more distance I continue to put between the choices my 2-year-old makes with food, the more independence he has and the more intuition he has to recognize what is good for him. And that's just super important to me. You know, this is something that I really want to continue trying to improve. Just putting more distance between what I think is right for him and him, letting him make all those choices. Because also at the end of the day, he's going to be making those choices anyway at a certain age. Right now, I might be able to control that a little bit more of what he takes into his body. But my goal is to help him have tools for the rest of his life and not just for the next 2 or 3 years. So one more thing I want to mention before we wrap up this episode is something I've learned. And that is to give my children as much as independence as possible. I never realized this specific point before I heard about this, but you know, sometimes when you hear something, you can't unhear it. So I really think that children deserve to be able to get to their own water. And this is the statement that I heard. They shouldn't have to ask for it. When I heard this, I realized that I never want my child to be thirsty and have to ask for their water. At that point, when I heard this, I got a water jug with a spout and found a place to put it in which was close to my son's height. He was probably around 1.5 years old. He learned where his cups were and started taking water by himself. I never felt more proud. And recently, he's learned how to take water from our water cooler by putting his chair there, standing up, and pressing the button by himself. You know, it felt really scary at first, and often it still does, because I see the water overflowing, I see it happening, and yet he's not fast enough to close it on time. That happens so often. But he knows, and we know that there are spills, and he knows where to take a towel from and clean it up, and he puts it in the laundry. And again, this doesn't always happen, but I love this concept because it's a work in progress. And he also knows at least what we are trying to get to. I'm just really happy and proud that my son is able to get to his own water. And I haven't realized what an issue this is, but today, actually, when we were at our friend's house and I was busy talking for a few minutes, I didn't realize that my son was asking me for a cup of water. And after a few minutes, I felt so bad. I'm like, oh, that must be so hard to be a small child and not be able to reach your own water. So I am really glad that we set this up for us at home. And I encourage you to start thinking about that for your child. So this is it for our episode today. Just a quick wrap up before we end. We discussed intuitive eating both for ourselves as moms and for our children. For us as moms, I think it's super important to remember that we created miracles and therefore we are one ourselves. And for our children, it's so crucial to remember how much of an impact our practices around food can have on them now and their whole lives. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode has helped you get started in thinking about your intuition when it comes to motherhood. If it helped you even a little bit, then I'm really glad. If you think this can help one or two of your friends, it would mean the world to me if you can share this episode with them. Thank you and see you next time.